But one of the greatest gifts that God has given us is the ability to enjoy pleasure, to feel things. It's one of the greatest things that he's given us. The taste buds. How many love taste buds? You know, like when all of a sudden you eat that cake or maybe it's that fruit or whatever it might be, and there's that punch of flavor, and not everything tastes the same. Is that not good? Right? And it's not all bland. Right? There can be flavor and that punch of flavor. Now, if I cook for you, I'm not maybe as good as some others, but there still might be some kind of flavor that you'll know that it is not all the same thing you're eating. I'm eating newspaper or cardboard, right? There's flavor to things. God has given us the ability to our eyes to be seeing the beautiful color around us, to the ability to touch and feel things. The difference between, and that, I don't know, I went swimming in Mexico at one point, and I went swimming with dolphins, and I started to touch the dolphin next to me. I felt like I was touching velvet. It was just incredible, the feeling. And that here I'm touching this powerful animal, and that the dolphin beside me, and as I'm touching it, it's like, whoa, that's really cool. You know, and so in that part is God has given us that ability. And that to sense, we're wired with the five senses and emotions so that you can experience the joy, you can experience the world around us. He wants you to enjoy life. He does. It doesn't mean life is not going to be hard. It doesn't mean life isn't going to have its ups and downs. It doesn't mean that, you know, there's some kind of scale of percentage that, okay, last year I went through 80% garbage and 20% good, so this year God's got to tip it that I'm going to go through 80% good and only 20. Oh, thank the Lord, I'm going to hit that. There's no guarantees of that. We're in a world that is broken. But we have a God that is our refuge and our strength, and that no matter what we're facing, we can go through. And sometimes people say, I wish I never felt the pain and the loss. I wish I never felt in that this area or that area. Oh God, why did you just take that away? Well, reality is if he took that away and we didn't feel again, that would be a pretty boring, mundane life. It's the same thing with that question people say lots. They say, if God was so good, why would he allow bad things to happen? I mean, come on now. Either you've echoed that or I've echoed it at least once in our life, maybe more, or someone around us has echoed that, or you've heard it through even the news. Act of God. But reality is, if God was to turn around and stop all the bad, he would be taking away free choice. And you would have no choice on whether you would serve him or not serve him. You would be wired that way and there'd be nothing. And God doesn't want robots. He doesn't want in that part where we have no choice and we just got to walk this way and do this thing and that's it. He wants you to, in his strength and power, to conquer that flesh inside, that desire that wants to do wrong, wants to do its own thing. He wants us to deny ourselves, surrender to him, trusting in faith in his strength, in his provision, in his love, in who he is. But we have this battle that wages. And the reality is if we rip it apart and say, God, just get rid of all emotion and feeling. Or God, just get rid of everything bad and make everything just what you want. We'd lose that part. And God says, you know what? Hey, I created you in my image. And I'm not going to stamp out something good that I placed inside of you. I just want you to lean on me. I want you to draw into my word, draw into my ways, draw into the principles of the words that he gives us so that it doesn't get fueled and controlled by the world and your flesh, but that you'll be renewed day by day and glory by my goodness and who I am. And that a portion of scripture says, in the land of the living, that we would receive, we would see his goodness. It's not till we get to heaven. But it's right now we can see his goodness, his strength, his blessing, his favor, his healing touch, the miracles of God. God still performs miracles. Amen. God still heals today. Amen. Gail's going to share a testimony coming up here in the week ahead or so. And that thing is so great to have you back. I know that you were battling an infection, but we're so glad to have her back. And God has declared over her she's cancer free now. And we're just so thankful for what God's doing. And she's going to share that with us. And that, but we realize that God has given these things and that he made us. The reason you're able to enjoy pleasure is that you were made in God's image. That's why. We don't want that stamped out. We will feel hurt and pain and we will see things that aren't so good. But at the end of the day is, if we allow him to take control of our mind, of our eyes, of our mouth, of our hands, of our body, of every area of our life, and we allow him to be our Lord, then he will lead you through that valley. He will lead you over that mountaintop. He will carry you through that storm. He will prop you up and pull you back up to walk on top of that water. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the God that we serve. Isaiah 61:4 says, "For God has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his glory." You see, God is not against you. God's not up there saying, "Oh, how much can I do in here? I just want to see, and I'm just gonna make sure they want to serve me and that." God's not like that. He's trying to plant you firm on his word, upon the rock of Jesus Christ, so that you can weather the storm. You were created to succeed and not to fail. That's the God we serve. The perversion of the enemy and the world kicks in all the time to make us second guess through fear and anxiety and worry and stress and weights and this and that. And then sometimes it's not the world, it's our own flesh that desires things that God says that we shouldn't desire and chase after. And then we get what we wanted only to reap the whirlwind of things around us because of our decisions and our choices and our actions. But thanks be to God, all we have to do is say, "Daddy, help." Turn from where we are and walk to him. And that because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Any prison we find ourselves in, any circumstance we find ourselves in, you just got to pause and remember there's no key. There's no lock on the door. You just got to kick it open and just walk out. Amen? Because if you're a lover of Jesus, he's a lover of you. He sets you free. So no matter where you find yourself in your mind, in your thought life, in something happening to you, or you're doing something, or whatever it might be, you're not a prisoner to that ever again. Because Jesus took the keys of death and hell. He took them. And so therefore, the doors can never be locked again. Never be locked again. You're never stuck unless you choose to sit in it. But the devil has no more power. He has no more authority. He's out to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give life. You just got to kick the door open and walk out. Amen? That's the God we serve. Revelations 4:11 says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Psalms 149:4, the latter part, or the first part says, "The Lord takes pleasure in his people." The Lord delights over you. He doesn't look over you and say, you know, and goes to this naughty and nice list like Santa does. Right? I mean, that's such a terrible image. That's not what God does. He delights in us. You might not like the fact that we're sitting here in a prison that he paid for us to be free. It might break his heart, and that when he says, "Hey, walk with me," and we're like, "I'm doing my own thing," it might break his heart. But he delights and takes pleasure in you. That's why he keeps coming back. He keeps coming back. He keeps coming back. He stands at the door and he knocks because he takes great pleasure in you. You see, when we fully understand this truth, then you'll never again have a problem with feeling insignificant. Why? Because the creator of everything is thinking about you. You matter so much to him. He takes pleasure in you that he's going to continually stand at that door. He's going to continually draw you. He's going to continually speak over you. If you are that important to God and he considers you valuable enough to keep with him for eternity, what greater significance could you have? He chose and he created you for his enjoyment. You exist for his benefit, for his glory, for his purpose and his delight. You see, God has emotions too. We're created in his image. And what brings pleasure to him is called worship. Not playing a guitar and singing, but worship, our life. If we fail to worship God, he'll always find a substitute. He always finds something, someone else. The rocks will cry out. The birds in the air will cry out towards him. All creation groans in eager anticipation for the Son of God to be revealed. And that, but God has created in such a way for you and I to participate in that and to worship him. There's no biblical style of worship like too fast, too slow, one new, one old. It's a life offered. That's what worship is. Worship is our lives offered unto him. It's a heart fixed onto Jesus. No matter what happens, nothing can distract me because, Jesus, you've got my attention. Worship is not for my or your benefit. Worship is not a part of our life. It is our life. Psalms 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. Does that mean that as you walk to work all day long, you're going to be singing away worship songs while you're working away and everyone comes in trying to have a conversation with you? La, 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 la. Hi, hey, I'm trying to talk. La, 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 la. No, that's not what he's saying. Our narrow view of worship is play some music and sing a song. That's just one expression. It's a way that creatively we come together and we can express what's in our heart. But that's just our tool. Just as much as my voice is a tool to speak blessing or curses, life or death. It's a tool to project the abundance of the heart. Amen? Whenever possible, begin every day with God and end each day with him. So what constitutes good worship? Worship is your spirit responding to God's spirit. Amen? Worship is your spirit and that connecting and responding to God's spirit. You know, so I share with people all the time, hey, we want the best worship ever. Well, then if you and I just connect our heart to him, it will be there. Amen? And that's the biblical view of what worship is. It's our life. It's who we are. The biggest distraction in worship is ourself. It's our emotions. It's our mind. It's our will. I don't know about you, but sometimes I got seven things on my head. And I'm thinking about this and thinking about this and I'm trying to sing or I'm trying to do what God asked me to do. I'm trying to honor him in his word and he says, hey, go to the left or do this or love this or whatever. I'm trying to do that, but I'm busy and I'm trying to do this and this and it can be really hard. There's no one in here that it's easy for. We all have our struggles and our things, but we're trying hard to spur one another on because what I struggle with and that maybe Gail doesn't struggle with. But what Gail struggles with, Owen doesn't struggle with. By the way, I love the sweatshirt, bud. And that, you know, doesn't struggle with. Or maybe Jeff, you know, he's having a hard time, you know, oh my goodness, how do I do this? And that, but then maybe someone over here, they're not a problem with language. And when we come together, we show the bigger picture and we can connect and spur one another on. If worship is mindless without thinking, then it's really meaningless. We need to train our brain. Train our brain to focus. My wife has spent 24 years trying to train my brain to focus. Phil, look at me. Phil, look at me when I'm talking to Phil. Look at me. And my brain's just going like this. And I'm like, I'm listening, baby, and I can share everything she's saying. But she says, look at me. We have to train our brain. Sometimes we've got to train our brain because the first thing our brain does is take the negative. First thing our brain does is go back to a hurt. Why? Because it's like a video camera in our head and it doesn't turn off. That's why it's not always good to see things. That's why the Bible says put blinders up to protect yourself, because if you get it in you, the devil's going to sure try and kick it out of you so that it'll come out of your lips or out of your something and try to throw you off. And so in that part is we have that challenge. He says, no, it's not mindless. But in our mind, in our heart, in our emotions, in our will, in our excitement, we're to bring all of that to the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, and your strength. Every bit of us, we worship him. Our worship must be thoughtful. And that love God with all your mind. Be specific in there. Worship service must be understandable to unbelievers. In other words, and that here we believe the gifts are active. God still speaks. God still moves. God still touches. God still heals. And that God moves in mysterious ways that are beyond you and I. And as he does those things, and that we try hard to pause and say, okay, hey, this is what the Bible teaches, and this is what this is, and that let's not be afraid of it. Let's just ask the Lord, what does it mean? What is happening here? How on earth, Doug, did you know that about me? Because I never said anything. And Doug's like, man, I didn't know. But the Bible calls that a word of knowledge. And God just told me I needed to share this with you because he loves you and he cares. Oh, so what has he just done? He's just now taken focus off on, wow, Doug, you're a pretty amazing guy. Wow, you just amazed me. Oh, my goodness, Doug, if I could be like you, Doug. And Doug's just now attached it back to Scripture, back to God, that now all of a sudden it's like, wow, God, Doug, I don't know what kind of connection you have, God, but I want that too. I want to be able to hear from God. I want to be able to touch God. I want to be able to see him. Are we spurring people on to the Lord through our worship towards him? Are we showing him? Never doubt in the dark what God has told you in the light. 2 Samuel 24:24, I will not offer to the Lord my God sacrifices that have cost me nothing. Right? And that when we come to worship him, it'll cost us. This idea and that free. I'm going to tell you this. Nothing in heaven or on earth is free. Nothing is free. It costs someone something. Do we get that? Right? You're like, hey, I just won this free TV. Woohoo! Well, you didn't win the free. You might have got it free, but it cost someone something, because I don't know about you, but the last I looked, TVs didn't grow on trees. Right? And so in that part is when we understand that, and then we begin to understand, wait a second here, God, I ask for peace because everything's breaking all crazy around me, and you give me that peace. That was free for me. But that cost Jesus everything. God, and that I need you to provide for my family. Oh, God, we're struggling. We need this. We need this. God, would you help? Would you help? And then God all of a sudden provides in mysterious ways. And all of a sudden we kind of remember, yeah, it was free to you, but God moved on Jeff Malott's heart. And so Jeff turned around and said, you know what, God, if that's what you want me to do, okay. And then he turned around and he paid that money and he cost that out. His family put that in and that to give to you free. Your mom and dad, and that, hey, oh, and then your mom and dad, they give it to you. It's free for you, but it costs your mom and dad sometimes more than you know. You see, sometimes we detach everything so much we forget about how far God has gone and is going every day so that you and I can enjoy the spoils of what Christ has done for us. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen? I'm just blown away by him day by day, moment by moment. Since pleasing God is our first purpose of our life, then the most important task must be how to do that. How do we please him? How do we honor him? How do we love him? How do we bring worthy worship or something of honor to him? Well, God, you can have the rest of my Big Mac. I started it, but you can have. Or, God, hey, you know, you can have, you know, my savings bank account. You know, or, hey, God, you can have this. Or you can. God doesn't need anything from us. As if he was shortchanged. As if he was hungry and he needed that less than the next of the Big Mac. Or that idea. As if he, you know, he was lacking anything. It's not that God is missing or losing or shortchanged. He just needs a little bit of a, you know, man, if you just give me that boost, then I'll be able to make it. That's not where God's at all. It's not for his benefit at all. It's for your benefit and my benefit that we bend our knee and surrender to him. That we lay our lives over and say, God, every time I take a hold of my life, I mess it up. Every time that I take a step away from your word, things just don't go right. Every time my brain starts moving in a different direction and that all of a sudden I get overwhelmed and I end up saying things, doing things I'm not wanting to do. Like Paul echoed in scripture, the things I want to do, I don't end up doing. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. And that's that battle, that internal battle all of us face. But in that part is, as we come back, and that to say, how do we do that? How do we bring pleasure to you? How do we walk in that way? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, and that figure out what pleases Christ and then do that is what the Message Bible says. And that it says, Noah was a pleasure to God. In other words, he made God smile. Why? Noah obeyed completely and exactly what God asked him to do, even when it didn't make sense. And let me just add this little part is, Noah was a farmer, not a shipbuilder. We got to let that sink in. Because how many times do you say or I say, oh, well, God, that's just not who I am. That's not my gift. That's not what I do. I'm a farmer. You want a ship built? You better talk to, you know, someone else. But that's not me. That's not what God's asking. He's not asking, hey, do you have the skill set? Do you have the amount of money in your bank? Do you have this? Do you have that? He's not asking that. What he's asking is, will you trust me enough to go beyond all the boundaries of your reason and everything else? Will you trust me enough that if I ask you to build this ship and say it's going to rain when it hasn't rained forever and it's going to flood the earth, will you trust me enough, even though you're a farmer, will you trust me enough to drop that and come here? See, I'm afraid in our North American church, somehow, some way, in our culture of church, we've taught, we've lived, we've practiced, walked out that God is an add-on to our life, and he's not our life. We tuck him in when he's convenient. We tuck it in when it fits us. And that, then we say, well, that's tradition. I'm not into tradition because I'm free. Or we say, well, that's just a part of the word that I don't know if I agree with. So then we tuck it in, and that's our justification for not doing things that God is stirring by his Spirit in our heart. God's wanting all of us. He's wanting us to surrender to him. That no matter where we're at or what we're doing, that we can turn the other cheek, we can step back up, we can kick the door because there's no lock on it, and we can walk free to shine bright for him. Let your light shine before men that they will see your good deeds and glorify the Lord. I don't know about you, but if there's ever a time for the light to shine brighter and God's glory to shine, is it not now? Listen to me. If you wait for another generation, and we just say, well, you know what, the next ones, they can do it. And that all we're doing is we're cutting the legs off of them because we're not setting the example that God has asked us to set for him. And that we're not laying down our lives. He says, deny yourself, die to yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. He didn't say, and that when it's comfortable, he didn't say, pick up Christina's cross. Now I'm married to her and we love each other, but I can't carry Christina's cross. I can help try and prop her up. I can try and help with that, but I can't carry that. I can't carry Alex's cross. There's a cross that Alex has to carry in life, and that where all of a sudden this isn't fair. It's his cross that he carries, and that is he picks up his cross and he follows Christ. You're not carrying Jesus' cross because none of us could do that. But he has asked you to pick up your cross and follow him. Life isn't fair. Right? It's not. Some of us have more aches and pains than others do. Some of us have gone through life with loss after loss after loss, problem after problem. Things just don't work so good, and that it doesn't seem fair. Why does it work for this one and not this one? Why did they get this and I don't get it? And the Bible tells us clear, don't go down that road because that road will get you so caught into this prison over here, and that the woe is me, everything's against, everyone else has got stuff and I don't, everyone else got a healing when they prayed for it, but I didn't. What is God doesn't care about me? Not at all. Not at all. Kick that door. Step out of it. God is for you, not against you. Pick up that cross and keep bringing it before him. God, I'm facing things. God, I don't understand. And that if there's another way, Jesus says, take the cup and pass it. But if not, your will be done. It's okay to say, God, I don't understand. This sucks. This is no fair. It's no fun. And then I don't know why I got to struggle with this. I don't know why Jess is going through all of this stuff. I don't understand. And we can either make a choice that we get angry enough that we sit down and we get stuck in our own prison. Or we say, God, I don't understand. We pick up our cross and we keep dragging it and saying, God, but I'm drawn to you. I'm coming to you, Jesus, because I don't know where else to go but to come to the foot of the cross. I don't know what else to do but to come to you, Jesus. And that I don't understand all of this. I don't know why me and not someone else. I don't get all those things, but I'm not going to allow the why to control my life anymore. I'm just going to pick up my cross. I'm going to come and I'm going to follow you, knowing that if you ask me to do something, I can do it. If you say, hey, go ahead and I want you to pick something. Well, God, I've already got something else on my shoulder. How can I do it? You know, go ahead and pick it up because God will give you the strength. And then he'll realize, wait a minute. Whoa, this is nothing. And before you know it, then all of a sudden, some of those things you're struggling with, they start falling off. God starts dealing with them. God starts releasing them. God starts rearranging them. But they had less root with the problem, and they had a bigger root with something in your heart. We want the external changed right away, now. But God is saying, you're too valuable for me. I love you too much that if I just cut that free and that from this and that, what will happen if I just cut the free and don't do anything here? You're just going to run over here and you're just going to pick up something else and you're going to put it up and you're going to run with something else. He says, let me do that work in your heart so that you can remain free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So what does it mean to surrender? What does it mean to surrender? You see, surrender is not a passive resignation or an excuse for laziness or even to accept that status quo. Okay, I'm just going to surrender to what everyone else wants. Why? Because the majority is not always right. How many times in Scripture do we see it, the crowds against Jesus or the crowds against something, only to have one step in the middle and say, everyone else is afraid. Everyone else is serving other gods. Everyone else is going this way and that, but God, we know you want to go here. And then they stand up in the middle of that and God shows himself real. God will always defend. God will always reveal himself. We just got to hang on to him and not give up. We got to hang on to him and not give up. Surrendering is not repressing your personality. God gave you your emotions, your will. He gave you who you are. He gave the kind of the craziness that you are for a reason. It's not him suppressing that on you and trying to put that down. No, it's about him drawing you out. Surrender is the best demonstration, is best demonstrated, sorry, by obedience. It's our best way. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. Not as a taskmaster slave, you know, obey me now or you're going to get beat. But it's God, Jesus, all you've done. And you ask me to go in this direction, I'm just going to go this way. No matter what we face, no matter what we go on, it's that part that we come into there of demonstrating it through obedience. Surrendered people obey God's word even if it doesn't work out good for them. And that surrendered people obey God's word, and that even if it doesn't make sense. God, why turn the other cheek? It doesn't make any sense. God, why forgive? No one else is doing it, so why should I have to do it? Why love over this? It's not worthy. They're an idiot. They don't know what they're doing. They deserve it. The Bible says love over it. Love over it. It is not easy. But as we put in practice the things that God has called us to, then all of a sudden we start to see God get revealed more and more. Surrender to God is characterized by one word called trust. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord. Trust is the key. The characteristic that helps us understand that part of surrendering. A surrendered heart shows up best in relationship. The supreme example is that self-surrender of Jesus. The Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I reflect only him. Why? Because I'm so focused on him. I'm so in tune with him. I'm so in love with him that whatever he says, I say. Whatever he does, I do. Whatever, wherever he is, that's where I'm going to be. And in that relationship, as we draw close to God, we become more and more like him, more and more like him, that all of a sudden, as we take steps, it could show more and more around us. And as we do that, all of a sudden, and that God gets shown in all these different cracks around the world. And the cracks inside of us, all his goodness starts to come out of it. So what we thought was a scar and a terrible and a bad of our life, it has now become a trophy in a moment where God has turned around to say, hey, I can even take someone broken like this and I can make them new. And if I can do it for them, I can do it for you. Surrender doesn't weaken you. It actually strengthens you when you surrender to God. For when we become weak, when we take a bow, he gets exalted. When we lift him up higher than us, it only makes us stronger. It only lifts us up even more. Everybody eventually surrenders to someone or something. Everyone does. We can resist and resist and resist thinking, well, you know, I'm just going to do my thing or I've had enough or I've had this. Everyone will surrender to someone or something in our life. And I'm not just talking the one big thing, but in every day of our life and the choices we make.
Either we're going to surrender to the Lord so that our choices now are led by Him, even though things don't go the way we thought, we're going to still walk with Him. But if that one is not secure, that we're surrendered to Him and He is our Lord, then depending on what happens around us, we're going to be tossed to and fro by the waves, by what we hear, by this, by that, whatever it might be. And we're not going to have that secure foundation underneath us and that to know what He is speaking into your life. God has a plan and a purpose for your life that you were created on purpose to accomplish, to make a difference for His kingdom. But if we get tossed to and fro and we lose sight of Him, lose sight of what He's asking us to do, then what happens is that we can then lose out on what He has in store and what He created you to accomplish. Surrender is not just a one-time event. And that there are different levels of surrender, and that all of which affect our relationship with God. The initial surrender to the drawing and the pulling and the leading of Holy Spirit that leads us to salvation. See in John chapter 6 and Acts chapter 2. It's when we let go of our own attempts to earn God's favor and rely upon the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf that we become that child of God, and that as we surrender to Him, He adopts us into His family. But there are also times of greater surrender during a Christian's life that brings deeper intimacy with God and greater power for His service. You see, the more areas of our lives that we surrender to Him, the more room that there is of the Holy Spirit to fill us, and that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you exhibit the characters of the fruit of the Spirit. It just comes out of you. So the more He's in us, more He fills us, the more room we create by surrendering. Not just Jesus, you're my Lord. Jesus, I'm going to follow you, and then going to live like we want to live. If you are my sons and daughters, then you will obey. That's the greatest picture, example of our surrendered life to Him, is that we obey Him. But if we don't have Him in our equation of our week, then He might have a portion of our life that, well, okay, God, you can have me, I have you, but we've got all these no-go areas, right? For most teenagers, the no-go area is under the bed. You know, that's where when mom says, clean your room, everything just goes under the bed. In the closet, it's a no-go area. Don't touch that. Everything else looks okay, doesn't it? But don't go under there. Don't look. Well, we have those in our lives, too. How far we're willing to go? How much we're willing to give? Of our time, our energy, our love, our money, whatever it is? Are we willing to... And that go where He asks us to go? Are we willing at a moment when He speaks to go to that person? Jeff led the youth on a scavenger hunt on Friday. It was a great time laughing. Oh my goodness, the leaders were saying my ears were just ringing because of the laughter and the fun and everything else he was doing. But a part of that, part of the scavenger hunt is they had 10 invitations to the color and they had to find 10 different people that they would invite. Another part of the scavenger hunt was they had to find someone that they could pray for. Another part of that scavenger hunt, I mean, there was get a potato and a Walmart bag and that, but another part was share a scripture verse with someone. So the youth and the teens had to go outside of their comfort, and some of them said, it's as far as I'm going, I'll get the potato. I'll get the bag, but I ain't doing this. That was their line. They crossed. That's it. Others, and then, I don't know. And then they took a step and they did it. And they're just like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And then maybe they took another step. How far are you willing to go in your walk with the Lord? He takes delight and pleasure in your life. He's so for you. He took the keys of death and hell. So now any prison, any trouble, any problems that we find ourselves in, anything that we don't understand and just overwhelmed with, we never have to be stuck. All we have to do is just get up, kick the door, and walk away from it and say, Jesus, I'm walking to you. And that if we need it, we come all the way over to the cross and we cling to it again and say, God, I just don't want to go back. I've been struggling for so long, or this has got a hold of me over and over. I don't want to go back. So God, I'm just going to hang on to here. They're going to have to pry me off of the cross. They're going to have to pry me off of you because I'm hanging on so tight to you because I don't want to go back to that darkness. I don't want to go back to that place. Surrendered to him. See, the more we surrender to God, the more our self-worshipping nature gets replaced to one that resembles Christ. There's a selfishness in the core of every human being. Just ask a baby. And that when all of a sudden, my toy, mine. Like, who taught him that? Right? It's that sinful nature that we're born with. That Jesus came to reborn, to give us new birth in him. Out of the flesh and into the spirit. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says that God demands that we surrender and totally the totality of ourselves. He wants the whole, not a part. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. You see, Jesus said that his followers must deny themselves. Another word for that deny would be surrender to him. The goal of the Christian life can be summed up in Galatians 20:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, such a life of surrender is pleasing to God. And the results in a greatest human fulfillment, and will also reap the ultimate reward when we get to heaven of job well done. You see, God, he is so for you. And we get distracted all the time. We're all in this together. And that I say phrases sometimes and people get like, oh my goodness. And I say, you know, hey, as Pastor Phil, I'm not here to win Owen Sound. It's not my job as a pastor. My job is to equip, edify, challenge, courage, and that pick up and spur on every one of you to join in the work to reach Owen Sound. If I do it all, I fail. Now, take the hat off for a second as Phil Smith. I'm here to win Owen Sound too. We're all in it together. Amen? We got to reach our neighbors. If we don't reach our neighbor, who else is going to, right? We're joining in. We're only a piece of the church in Owen Sound. And so we're getting healthy as we can here and getting things in order so that we can be a healthy pinky of the church of Owen Sound. So that we're not crippling the church of Owen Sound. Right? You hear things, you know, well, God says, you know, hey, we're this and that. And as Pastor Phil, and that I do bring correction at times. I do sometimes step on toes. And people don't like it. I'm trying to bring us back to the Word. I'm trying to bring us back to our commitments, back to what God has called so we can come together. Spurring on. As Phil, man, I like people liking me. I don't like people not happy with me. And it's easier to go with the flow than it is to put a hat on and start to lead. But God calls us all uniquely to the places we are so that we can accomplish the bigger picture of what he's asked. And that's what we come back to, and that I met with a couple. And that for a baby dedication, they're going to be coming soon. And that I believe it's November 17th. And it's a son and daughter-in-law of one of the people that attend here. And I had a chance to talk with them and walk with them. And I share with them and I said, hey, there is no one on this face of the earth that God sought or thought could raise this baby girl better than the two of you. Otherwise, God wouldn't have given his precious gift to you. So as you look to God, ask him and he'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the help. There is no one greater or better than the spouse that's sitting next to you in your life. God saw it so fit, and that to have that person beside you for that time in your life, for that moment in your life, for that part, so that you could be better, you could be reflecting Christ better. Christina draws the best out of me, sometimes in ways I don't like, but it works. I'm becoming more like Christ, and vice versa. I'm the best thing to happen in her life too, even though she's like, oh, you know, at times, but we spur one another on. In your workplace, it's not by chance you're just there. Oh, well, I'm a good worker, so I got the better job. Or now I'm in management because, you know, and that I can, no one else can do it, so I guess it's just me. No way. God's placing you and bringing favor on your life and giving you ability and putting you in that place so you can have the impact in a greater way that he's wanting. And he says, whom I call, I equip. So here we come back to this word surrender again. The characteristic of it is this word trust. Will we trust them enough, walking through that valley of shadow of death, that we won't take an easy way out and we won't turn left and run our own way? We won't get overwhelmed by the things that happen, that we'll sit down and we'll put ourselves into a prison cell. Right? I close with this, an elephant. And that when they take a young elephant and they're wanting to use the elephant in the circus, or they're wanting to use the elephant in different places, and that what they used to do is they would take a massive chain, like incredibly strong chain, and they would chain it down into heavy concrete or whatever it was, or around a massive tree, that there was no way that elephant was going to, that baby young elephant was ever going to rip that tree down. And so day after day, it would be like, I'm tired, I want to be free, and everything, watching all the elephants walking, wanting to do, and it would pull, and it would get caught, pull and get caught, until it sunk into here, I'm not strong enough to ever get free. This is just where I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And once they've broken that part, they take the big chain off and they can put a little rope like this. Small little rope tied around its ankle, tied around the tree, and that elephant will never leave it. They can put a little stake this far in the ground and the elephant's not going anywhere. Oh, Jesus set us free. Body, mind, soul, and spirit. That none of us are bound, that we've got to stay in that prison, because you took the keys of death and hell, and all we have to do is kick that door open and walk out. No matter where you find yourself, no matter what's going on within your mind, within your heart, within your body, within your soul, your emotions, and that you don't have to be a prisoner anymore, because that's the Jesus that we serve. He is so for you, and he's not against you. And that as we bow our heads this morning, And just out of respect for others, and then just let's bow our heads for a moment here as we talk to the Lord. Jesus, we just want to say thank you. God, sometimes it's so overwhelming, it's hard for us to grasp all of this stuff, Lord. And that because, Lord, we're so inundated by all the ways of the world and the problems of the world and the cares of the world, that we feel like we're just overwhelmed and everything is piling deep and heavy around us. That's why you said, Lord, for us to cast our cares on you. If you're here today and you're just carrying a heap load of stuff, thoughts, emotions, words, whatever, start emptying them on the Lord. Clear enough of a path, clear enough around you so you can see the truth, because it's only the truth that sets us free. Everything else causes us to be bound inside and overwhelmed. God, I thank you, God, for what you are doing. And I thank you, God, Lord, that there is no one beyond your reach. And there is no one that is stuck unless they choose. So, God, would you come around them? Would you inspire them? Would you raise up people around them to lift them, to encourage, to spur them, to keep cheering them on, Lord? Bring that great cloud of witnesses around, Lord, I pray. So that we don't end up like that elephant. It's so massive and so big, then
and yet we're held by a little piece of string. Jesus, remind us that what you did on the cross, you set us free, that no longer do we have to be a slave to fear. No longer do we have to be stuck in the mud. And so, Lord, I pray a release right now over each and every one. And Lord, I pray as we come to that word surrender or trust, God, Lord, I pray if there's anyone in the sound of my voice, no one looking around for a moment. And you're here today and God's speaking to your heart. I'm not speaking to it, but God is speaking into your heart right now and he's pulling at something. I'm going to encourage you, well, no one's looking around because it's not about them, but just slip your hand up and say, you know what, God, I see that area. God, Lord, yeah, I hear that thing. And he's speaking to you even now as I speak right now. He's whispering in your ear, whispering in your heart, saying, hey, it's time to let go of something. It's time to grab a hold of something. It's time to move in a direction. It's time to this. It's time to that. God, Lord, we just want to yield to you right now. Your will be done in my life, in Rockcliffe, in Owen Sound. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, we surrender you once again. Lord, brand new today. This is the day you have made, so we choose to rejoice and be glad in it, of course. But, Lord, we choose to bend our knee again and to surrender. God, we choose, Lord, to position ourselves at your feet. Like that woman, Lord, who came and broke her perfume and that oil and washed your feet and with her tears and her hair wiped it up and she just wanted to be at your feet. Like Mary, and that when there was work to be done, but she recognized you were there and she just wanted to come and be with you. He said, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So wait on him. Come to his feet again. And that there's some here today, I feel like God is saying, and that there's been so much confusion around you, that you're even in a place that it's hard for you to even trust your own judgment right now. Because you've pulled yourself so far away from what you know you ought to do. And the things God has called into your life or spoken over you, you've pulled so far from that that now you're confused and you don't know where you're going. You don't know what's happening. And you're just like, it's almost like anger and other moments end up controlling you. And God is saying, hey, just return to me. Just return. You don't got to dig up a new well. Just uncover the well that's there and drink. For my living water will satisfy you. You're not going to be satisfied if you keep doing your own thing and keep walking away. Draw close to him because he's drawing close to you. Jesus, I just pray right now just a total release over each and every one. And God, Lord, I just thank you right now for this church. I thank you, God, for what you are speaking and doing. And God, I thank you, Lord, it's made up of all imperfect people like me. We don't always do everything right. God, we ask for forgiveness. We ask for your direction and leading. But God, our desire is one thing, and that is just to lift you up, is to be like you. And so, God, Lord, I pray that you would help us spur each other, help us to grow in that, help us to be that light and that witness for you. So blessings, I pray, favor, I pray, strength, I pray. Lord, the eyes be opened right now to be able to walk free. Ears be open to be able to hear your voice. Lord, Holy Spirit, thank you for what you are doing today. Not what you just did yesterday. We're grateful and thankful for, but I am thankful for what you're doing right now. In the hearts of your sons and daughters, in my heart. And so we love you, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I just really want to encourage you and that not to leave if God is stirring something in your heart and you'd like someone to pray with you. And that I just encourage you and that to come and be a part of what God wants to speak in your life. Come and press in. Or you might want to sit quietly for a moment. The guys are going to put on a quiet worship song. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And just come to that place. No one else can repent for you. No one else can do the work for you. No one else can take the step for you. But you can. And today, he's calling you. Will you respond? Will you open your heart to him? Or will you put off to tomorrow, which never comes around? God wants you to be free. Thank you, Jesus. Just remind you, if you do need to go, Andy's going to meet. He'll be in the lobby. You can ask some questions. We love you. God bless you. But if you'd like prayer, you'd just like to sit for a moment and allow the Lord to speak into your heart, then I encourage you just to stay. God bless you.
I find my rest without you. I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Oh God, how I need